Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, howdy, everybody. It's the 6th of the December, 2020, the year of the pandemic. We are just weeks away from getting over this all, and life will just return to normal. It will all happen because we have been told that is what's going to happen. I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy. This is the Overseas Connection podcast, in case you're wondering. And we have a small but tight-knit group today. Group. We've got a group today. We've got a group and a group.
Well...
But yeah, so on the show, we have the lovely Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy.
And we also have the ever vibrating Robin Tate.
Yeah, I like that. I would like to be vibrating all the time. It's like I'm a tuning fork. You know, people tune themselves with me. What mood's he in? Oh, frig, avoid him. Kim has already tasted that, so...
I don't even want to touch this. We're going to move forward. We're going to talk. We are a video game podcast, believe it or not. We talk about video games. We also talk about other stuff. But for the most part, we talk about video games. We come at it from a completely mature standpoint. Never anything immature at all. That's because we are older and wiser than anybody younger than us. So just remember that when you're listening to us. And mind your elders. And we broadcast every weekend, 9 p.m. in the U.K. on Sundays, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, which is the best coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and that long but forgotten Central Time Zone, 3 p.m., we're there.
That has to be the most important time. That has to be. In America, the bit in the middle has to be the most important. Yeah, isn't it?
Absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not. No, in fact, if you ever just watch how shows are listed, they're either listed with Eastern Standard Time first or Pacific Standard Time. Very rarely do you see Central Time listed in any kind of show listings unless you actually live in a Central Time
zone.
That's
wrong.
The only time anybody cares about
it. Wrong. Wrong, isn't it, Kim?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I get no respect. No respect.
No.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. The good news is Central Time Zone, though, is still a step above Mountain Time because no one absolutely fucking cares about Mountain Time.
Where is Mountain Time?
It is like the absolute... Nobody really knows. Oh. It's somewhere kind of in Arizona, Colorado-ish.
Okay.
It's like that. It's a thin line. It got made for some stupid reason. Nobody cares about it. Arizona doesn't even follow it. So there. There you go.
Okay.
Now that we've got all that covered, let's wish a couple birthdays. So some unfortunate people born in December, they miss out on all of the Christmas giving and then a separate birthday. They inevitably get it all wrapped up into one. Here is your birthday Christmas gift. So this is your birthday Christmas wish from us. Happy birthday, happy Christmas, Daniel Fletcher, who on the 5th is turning 73. Congratulations, Daniel.
Wow.
John Wilson, also known as John Mouse. Happy birthday, happy Christmas. I suppose I could say Merry Christmas, but no, forget it. Happy Christmas. He, on the 10th, will be turning 82. He only looks like he's 62, but he's going to be 82. And then Jason Wilson, on the 12th of December, unfortunately, he's just getting into that senior's age range, 55. So he will officially be able to start collecting ARP and all of that good stuff.
He looks older.
He does look older than 55, if you ask me. But, you know, some people wear it well.
Huh.
So on that note, let's play them something special, Robin.
That's better than that other old crap that I was playing before, wasn't it?
I suppose. It's kind of like, you know, congratulations, you've made it this far.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. All right. Robin,
yes.
Maybe we should just dive... Actually, before we dive into that, real quickly, you know, look, if you've lived a long life, congratulations. At the end of the day, just, you know what, more power to you. So I'm feeling the love right now. I'm feeling the love, the warmth. And so as we celebrate these three fine individuals and their birthdays, we also, you know, certainly want to just wish them the best wishes.
What?
Because they're just getting so much older.
What?
I was going to go with the Joe Biden kind of thing, and then it just fell apart. So, Robin, play some music. Let's do story time.
Yeah.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Yeah.
Okay. So the truth of that, I was going to make a COVID joke because there was somebody who was 102. They died of COVID. And I was kind of like, really, does it matter what they died of? Because
they died
at 102. So, but then I started
Trump.
Thinking better
Jesus
of it.
Fucking and, Christ. Yeah. Another fucking one for Trump. Christ. He would have lived for ages. Jesus. He's probably died having sex with COVID as well at 102. Fuck. He could have been. It was avoidable. It was avoidable. 102. Christ.
Anyway, all right. Well, I'm going to lead the way. So, just talking about some things I've been doing this past week. So I've been listening to the Mountain Man audiobooks. Robin, you turned me on to these.
Wow! Good
yeah,
boy.
Fantastic. I'm actually into book five. So, again, this is narrated by one of our, at least personal favorite narrators, R.C. Bray.
Of course.
Great book. It is a zombie apocalypse kind of story, but it's a little bit different because I think it much like kind of how The Walking Dead in later seasons started dealing more with human and human interaction, more, you know, it was the problems of human and humans in this kind of situations as opposed to the actual initial threat that happened. So it's been great, and I've been really enjoying it. And you know, interesting that you start to think about it. Who are going to be the survivors in these kinds of situations? And of course, you always like to think it's going to be the good people. You know, the good guys are going to be the ones that are surviving. And the realities are, at least within this book, you start to see that, yeah, you have some of those people, but you also have a lot of very selfish, a lot of very twisted individuals. You know, the criminal mindsets, the actual people that are probably a little bit on the crazy side. So it's just been good. It's been fantastic. So it's available
good.
On Audible.
It's
so
funny.
Far, five books.
Yeah. The main character is funny.
Has, yes. The main character, Gus.
Yeah.
He is a very interesting character for sure. Not your typical hero type character either. So that's, I think, what I love about him. You can relate a lot to what he goes through. But there's that. And then, you know, just some other recommendations. I'm just going to throw this out there. Again, R.C. Bray narrated books. If you are ever looking for a couple book series that are long, but they're more or less completed, so you can kind of enjoy just one book after another and you don't have to wait, Arisen. Arisen, mm-hmm. I think it's 20 books long.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah, massively long. The first three books, I think, are grouped together as an omnibus, so you can buy those together. Again, Audible version. I highly recommend listen to the audiobooks. R.C. Bray does a fantastic job with that. That is another zombie apocalypse, but it's kind of taken more from a military view. So, you know, you're not just some, you know, following along some hapless human that just is in the situation. You're actually following along with military operators. And so it has kind of that neat spin to it because these guys, you wouldn't fuck with them. And then if you want something fun but sci-fi Expeditionary Force, it's not actually finished yet, but there are a ton of books in the series. So,
stupid monkeys.
You know, go. Yes, it is. That book has made me laugh. That book series, I should say, has made me laugh out loud so many times. And it really,
Are you listening?
It is just so well done.
Are you listening to the latest one? Have you done the latest one, Greg?
Totally got robotic.
Oh, sorry.
Kim, can you translate?
No, it's Robot Robin.
Ah! Yeah. Critical, are you so are you listening to Critical Mass at the moment?
I am done with Critical Mass.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm almost through it.
So
very good.
Yeah,
yes.
So I'm waiting for the next book that supposedly was coming in December. I believe it still is coming in December, but I could be wrong.
Mm.
But anyway.
Speaking of R.C. Bray, there's another series that if you don't want zombies or space, it's called the Black series. Black. And I believe you buy all three or four books and one credit on Amazon. So that's
okay.
One credit on Amazon buys the Black series. And again, it's R.C. Bray, but he's a detective in L.A. And likes a drink as well, but he's a gumshoe down on his luck. But again, really, really good stories.
Right.
So that's one worth checking out. And I picked it because it was R.C. Bray, not because, you look, people's reviews were quite good, but R.C. Bray. So I would recommend that if you want to get away from zombies and war and space. It's something that maybe out of your comfort zone for books to read. It's very, very, very interesting. Oh,
yes, I will definitely check that out because, again, really love him as a narrator. So if you're not familiar with audiobooks, usually you have somebody reading through. What's great about R.C. Bray is he does a lot of different character voices. So he will change things up. So it's just not it's not monotone. When you feel like you're listening to something that could also be, a video on screen, like you're getting just that richness of the storytelling. So anyway, so yeah, so that's been in my ears, in my eyeballs. I've been watching Mandalorian. I have to send out a huge apology to Steve Conger. I told him Friday I was going to watch the latest episode of The Mandalorian, and I have failed miserably at that. But everybody and their mother right now is saying that this is the best episode ever. So Mandalorian's getting good. Okay. Personally, look, I like The Mandalorian. It's good. I really wish they didn't lean into the kind of the Star Wars tropes. We've got the comical kind of sidekick moments. I'm very excited about the new Star Wars series that they referenced. I can't think of the character's name now, but he was basically the spy in Rogue One, the male, the guy that kind of started everything up.
Okay.
They're going to do a Disney Plus series on him. I'm hoping, crossing fingers, they follow Rogue One. Keep it serious.
Yeah, I prefer the darker stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
More absolutely. Serious.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how that pans out. And then I was going to give an Extra Life update, but I'll wait. We can talk about that when we talk about games.
Okay.
So, Kim, what's been going on in your side of the universe?
Working like always. As a matter of fact, I had to work yesterday. So, always fucking working. Other than that, I did finally find I don't know what you call it, Switch, I guess, for my TV that worked so far.
HDMI 4K Switch. This is an important note because there's a lot of, and we should back this up, there are a lot of Switches out there that claim they work with 4K and that they can do it, but they don't.
Yes.
So be wary if you and you're listening to this and you're thinking about getting a Switch. Listen to Kim now because she's found one that works.
Yeah, if you want to know what it is, get a hold of me on Twitter or whatever, and I can send you the link because it's on Amazon. I think it was $18.
Okay.
And I want to shout out Infected Psyche because he was the one that actually told me about this because he went through the same problems I did. So he was, giving me the heads up of this is what you need. And I bought a much better HDMI cable. So that is supposed to work. So far, it glitched a little bit this afternoon, like the screen went out, but I don't know necessarily if that was the box or maybe it was just the Xbox, how some of those are. But it came right back on. There hasn't been any crackling or anything like that. So,
Kim, you had a problem with your box.
I did.
It was a crackling box.
It was a crackling box. But it's all fixed now, so we're good. Like everybody, it's Christmas. I've been doing a little Christmas shopping. And that being said, we decided this year, hopefully he can't hear me through walls, but we decided to get my dad a tablet. because he likes to read. We thought, well, if we got him a tablet and got him a e-book, then that way he can make the text bigger because, you know, he's an old man and his eyes are bad. And trying to get the man to go to see a doctor to get glasses is like, ugh, you don't even want to get started. So anyway, we were looking. And of course, you know, I figured to get him like a Galaxy or something like that. And because he likes to watch YouTube videos, I don't know if anybody's been following me on Twitter lately, but lately he's found YouTube. And I mean, he's found YouTube off and on, but lately it's been cop videos. Police chases. Let's see. There's trucker videos apparently about him showing them hauling their loads and they're like, you know, dropping the trailers off. And I don't know, all this weird stuff he's into now. Like today he was listening to one about some girl who was going to run a company, but she bumped into some, I don't know. It sounded like a Hallmark movie, only it was on YouTube. It was just terrible.
Okay.
But anyway, so he's into all this. So I thought we'd get him a tablet. And we needed one, like I said, that would play YouTube, too, so he could watch all his stuff. Because he's got a Galaxy S5. And if anybody's kept track of how many, you know, Galaxy phones there are now, you realize how old that thing is. So I figure if I at least get him a newer tablet, then maybe he would leave his phone alone and at least watch him on the tablet. And I wouldn't have to hear him yell at the phone because the phone is froze or something has happened. Because he's got, like, a 10-year-old phone. Well, I don't know, maybe not quite 10 years. But I've got an S20 now, so that should tell you how old an S5 is.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, we're going to get him a tablet. Well, I noticed my tablet is up. I get it through my phone company, and I've got one more month payment on it, and then it's, you know, it's paid off, and it's mine, or I could trade it in or whatever. So I thought, well, instead of putting out the money to buy him a brand new tablet, I could give him my old tablet, and then I could re-up and get another tablet. So that's what we're doing for the old man for Christmas. So he's getting a nice slightly used Galaxy Tab A's.
How lucky he is.
Hey, you know what?
How fortunate. What a lovely daughter you are.
It's a nice tablet because beautiful. I owned it. And, you know,
You're bending over backwards for him. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Goodness, baby.
God bless you, Ken. God bless. Just make sure you clear up all the porn.
Oh, yeah, no problem. But I got
He's got to find that on his own.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
I don't think we're into the same things. So I ended up picking up a Galaxy Tab S7.
Ooh, okay.
So we'll see how that goes. That'll be here Tuesday or Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes. And because it's a new month and I haven't been on the show in like the last 2 weeks. Calendar time.
Nice.
We have Nathan and Clippy, which Nathan is my personal favorite. I'm assuming anyway Nathan is the dude and Clippy is the horse, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
You never know.
So there's that. And for Geralt this month, we have, I guess, Sherlock Holmes Geralt? I don't know. But there's a cat there, and that's nice. So whatever.
A little weird.
A little strange, but whatever. And then
do we have a Christmas calendar behind you? I see another calendar on the wall.
Oh, that's next year's calendar. So.
Oh, you're yes. prepared. Gotcha.
I'm prepared for, yes, next year. So, God. Okay. Anything's got to be better than 2020 this year. So, I think that pretty much covers everything. I got a new tablet. The splitter works for my TV. I've been working, and, I mean, nothing on the TV front or the book front because I'm kind of burnt out on reading right now because I've read 35 books this year. So
Audiobooks,
I know, right? I'm trying to get into the audiobook thing, but I just haven't got there yet. So maybe one day.
I just realized how many podcasts I've been listening to this year. And my book listening had sort of fell away. And it's only now starting to come back because there was so much going on and podcasts to listen to.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You get me. But to follow on a wee bit for the book thing as well, Ready Player 2, the follow-up sequel to Ready Player 1, narrated once again by Will Wheaton. And it picks up pretty much straight after they win the contest. Now, forget the movie. The book. The book is much better than the movie. So just straight after that, and the high five and what has happened to them, and there is another development, and there's another chase. Of course, you can imagine that. But it's all it all gets a bit dark. But it's very, very good. It's good. I was a bit, this isn't going to be as good, but it is. It's good. So it has the same 80s references, and at the moment we're fighting a battle on Prince World, So, you know, the seven different stages of Prince and Purple Rain and, yeah, the fighting, you know.
I was going to say, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
I assumed.
And they're racing along in a little red Corvette and, you know, they're dropping all those stuff. So it's really good. You can imagine. So Ready Player 2, I think I'm about 3/4 of the way through it. Really enjoying that. So one television program I will mention that some ginger bloke recommended to us. I can't remember what was his name. I don't know. I was a ginger bloke. Anyway, it is there's a ginger in this, which is probably why he was drawn to it. It's called The Queen's Gambit. Now, I'm going to describe it here to you. And you'll go, what? It's about a person and her struggles with drugs, drink, being an orphan, losing multiple parents, and having a really, really good talent, and how she strives to get her head around that. And the talent just happens to be chess, which she learnt from the caretaker in an orphanage, and she ends up going from strength to strength to strength, beating men. And then this is set in the 60s, early 60s, she was a young girl, so late 60s, when she was maybe 16, 17, beating masters and grandmasters, and coming on into the 70s to play some of the big, big Russian players. Really interesting, fantastic characters. You were right, ginger person. Really good.
Never say this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm really loving it. And I've just watched an episode with Judith there before we came out of here. And, you know, you can imagine what happens with somebody that is doing so well with drink and drugs. They hit a wall at some stage. Well, we're at the wall episode now, and I'm hoping that, you know, it turns around. But it's a very, very good story. So The Queen's Gambit's on Netflix. I would thoroughly recommend that. Okay.
I'm going to throw something at you real quick before you move on for shows to watch. Hmm. So I mentioned it, gosh, what was it, 2 weeks back, but the series Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Yep.
I cannot tell you enough. I implore you, if you want something to make you laugh, start watching it. It's on Netflix. The entire seasons are all on Netflix. It is just such. I mean, it's really good. And I think part of it is there's a couple characters in particular. Like as you're watching it, and they're saying some of just outlandish things, you almost feel like they might be breaking, like the fourth wall happening, where they're starting to crack up and laugh.
Okay.
But they hold it together. They always make it through. It's just so good. It has been just a delight and such a surprise find.
It kind of looked very like really popcorny light to me, but it isn't.
It's kind of goofy fun in some respects. You know, it's a tale of a very rich family that has a fall from grace. I won't get into any other detail other than that, because their fall from grace and what transpires after that is the meat of everything. So, but watch it, please. And stick with it. A couple episodes.
All right.
The first episode, you may be like, okay. But my one particular character, David, is my absolute favorite. And he just, it is hysterical. He is just such an off character. But again, it's one of those things where you see the outrageous things, but then in some ways, you can actually almost like, there's like, you relate it to certain situations. So, anyway.
Okay. Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Schitt's Creek.
Mm. Well, speaking of where what else, Robin? Schitt's Creek is, this beast of a thing, if you're watching right now, this beautiful, beautiful chair arrived, because my last chair was going like that, and like that, the gas thing strut had died in it, and I thought, oh, it was a gamer chair before I had, and thought, no, let's get something comfy, because I'm doing a lot of office work here.
You get robotic on us. That's what
I did.
Yeah.
And to the side, it has a controller.
This is one of those moments. Yeah, Robin?
Yes. It vibrates.
We didn't hear any of that.
Oh, robots. Okay. Okay.
Not a fucking word.
All right. Yeah, kilobits are dropping. It's coming up. Hold on. Yellow, green. Yeah, so my new chair...
Are you still talking about kilobits?
It's in the green now, so it should be coming up. Yeah, am I coming any better? Fuck.
Yes.
We're just giving you shit, Robin. Come on. Keep going.
Okay, my new chair is electric, and it heats. It's lovely. It has all vibration modes in your bum and your back and lumbar. And, oh, it's lovely. I don't know why I never got one of these before. It's really, really comfy. It's nice to work out through the desk. And because, again, the zombies brought me my chair. You know, because I thought, yeah, I'm spending more time here. I don't want to get a sore back. And just lovely, comfy chair. It's good.
Why do I feel like I'm going to have the same reaction to my new bidet toilet?
Fraser. Oh, wow. That's his fault. Okay, I learned some stuff this week. Recommended chair, Amazon electric chair. It was about 150 quid. It's not the dearest chair in the world.
It's
not bad at all.
I put an expenses receipt in for it as well. So let's see if that gets through. I learned stuff this week as well. So
congratulations.
The sheep moved into the field again to do the last sort of biting, and the grasses grew up a little bit. And there's 20 sheep in my front field at the moment, okay? And one of them was wearing a bra. So,
a bra?
Yeah, a bra.
Well.
Yeah. Now, there was a morning through the... There was one morning through the week, and I'll get to the next learning, because the two learnings happened on the one day. So I was out putting Christmas lights out. My 394 feet of Christmas lights arrived in one, yeah. And I had like an hour in between a meeting. And I thought, well, I'll go and put those out. And I seen one of my neighbours walking his dog. And I walked up the lane to be friendly with him. And I was chatting away to him a while. And I said to him, hey, tell me, neighbour, do you know why that sheep over there is wearing a bra?
Okay.
And he went... He probably thought, you fucking townie.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's not a bra. It has, it's strapped, so it looks like it's a harness bra, but here at the front, it has this pack, like this at the front, yeah? So, the front of the chest of the thing, and it is yellow. This thing at the front is yellow. I says, that's to let the farmer know how many sheep have been impregnated. That's a male sheep. So when it mounts the sheep, it leaves a yellow mark on the sheep's behind.
Well, there you go.
So there's about 10 whole sheep in my front field, and there's about 9 little virginal sheep at this moment in time. So now I look at all the sheep, and they've got yellow asses, and your man's in there having a great old time. And so something you know, find out every day. So there you go. Sheep that wear bras are not mixed up about their sexuality whatsoever.
No. This could have practical application for your children.
What? Okay, so the second learning was I ordered the lights for outside, so it's one batch of LEDs, 394 feet for 40 quid, whatever it was. And we have a tree outside, which was a small fir tree, like a Christmas tree when we arrived here, at just about 5 feet high. It's now almost this year, like 30 feet high. And we always put lights on it every year, you know, and then up the driveway, like a runway, it comes in. And last year, I just about managed to get the lights on round and round the tree. And I thought, no, there must be an easier way. How do they do that? So off I goes to YouTube. How do you put lights on a tall Christmas tree? Do you know what they do? Do you know, when you look at those, the Rockefeller thing, and the lights come all down, they're all down. Well, they probably have a crane there. But your general small town tree, they get a really long pole, the height of the tree, and they clip the cable of the lights on, and they hoist it up and clip it over a top branch, and then they pull the pole down, and it's released. And then they go right around the tree like that, instead of climbing up the big ladder. I did it. It worked. I didn't fall off ladders. I'm learning so much. So much.
So, if similar story, Robin. So this year, went to do our Christmas lights. By the way, I posted a picture in our WhatsApp chat of the finished lights for the house. But I traditionally have put the long ladder up. I go all the way up to the top of some of the high peaks in the house, and I'm like hooking the lights into. We have a bunch of eye hooks all across the gutter. This year, I thought, you know what? I'm going to take – so we have a very long water shutoff valve handle. It's basically about 4 feet long. And so, you know, in an emergency situation, if you have to shut your water off, you can get down into the little hole where the water shutoff valve is. Anyway, so I had that, and I'm like, I bet this is really good with getting the lights up into the eye hooks. And so I didn't have to go all the way up the ladder this time. I used that. Very similar, Robin. So, yeah, I learned something new. It took me about 20 minutes to do the lights. Normally, it takes me a good 45-hour long to do it because good I have stuff. To keep adjusting the ladder all the time.
We are so impressed with ourselves.
I know. Absolutely. It's crazy.
I did get another new console this week as well. I owned one before, but my new PSP arrived. So I was filling a hole in my collection. So I ordered a PSP from eBay. It has came with a beautiful little stand with a whole pile of UHDs. It's in mint condition, boxed. It's now up behind me. Well, you can't really see it, but it's up behind me there on the shelf. So that's another hole in my collection. So, yeah. Who needs Xbox Series X's? You know, they're falling out of the trees everywhere.
You do.
Yeah.
You do, Robin. You really do.
I do, but I can't get one, Greg DeLacy.
You know,
we're all terrified. It's probably this bloody virus. But thankfully, what do you call that company again? Cypher? Pfizer? They're making the drugs. So, you know what? They also make Viagra. So if they can raise the dead, I'm sure this vaccine will work as well. So,
absolutely.
If they can get people up from that.
Where are we at? Are we done, Robin? Are we ready to move forward?
I think so. I think I've talked enough shit for a while.
Yeah, you have. Let's talk games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Alrighty. So, Kim, I'm going to have you walk through our games because we're just into the start of December. By the way, it feels like we are like... Mm-hmm. We've been weeks into December already. I don't know why, but it's only the 6th of December. Yeah, but it feels like we're 2-3 weeks into December, but we're not. So let's walk through the games that are coming in December.
Alrighty. Your free games with gold for the subscription you pay for, you know, yada yada. We have The Raven Remastered, which is available now through the 31st. Bleed 2? What is it? That doesn't look right, but all right. Bleed 2, which is available the 16th through January 15th. Saints Row, Get Out of Hell, available now through the 15th. And Stacking, which is available December 16th through the 31st. And those are for your Xbox.
By the way, you mentioned last week about Saints Row, Get Out of Hell. Saints Row, Get Out of Hell is pure and utter shit. It is a really bad DLC spin-off of Saints Row. It is pathetically bad.
Got it.
Okay.
So it ranks up there with the Alien Colonial Marines. Gotcha. Okay, go ahead, Cameron.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right,
PlayStation Plus for December, we have Just Cause 4, Rocket Arena, and for your PS5, we have Worms Rumble.
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
Indeed. For your Twitch Prime games for December, we have Battlefield 3. Ooh, so many hours spent on Battlefield 3.
Mm-hmm.
Turmoil, Sigma Theory, Global Cold War, much like now. No, I'm kidding. Hyperdot, Close to the Sun, which is not apparently the same as the Global Cold War, but all right. And Wizard of Legend. So those are your Twitch Prime games for the month. Wizard, yep. For Stadia Pro, we have Into the Breach, Monster Jam, Steel Titans, Everspace, and Secret Neighbor. As opposed to the non-secret neighbor, I guess. Epic Game Store, we have Cave Story, which is available now through the 10th. And then on the 10th, we will have Pillars of Eternity, the Definitive Edition, and Tyranny, the Gold Edition. So apparently those are both... I know Pillars of Eternity is an RPG, but apparently so is Tyranny. And apparently they're both really good, so...
Okay.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
I actually downloaded The Raven Remastered, and
I'm not sure why I did that. I don't really have a desire to play it. I think I just knew it was there. So I was like, okay, I'll download it. And I'm like, but am I really going to play it? No.
I think then, I tried once and I couldn't get through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid fun fact. I was trying to manipulate my hard drive on my Series X. I've got three different hard drives. Well, some good, some bad. So one of the things that that you instantly find out is that some games do you have both versions on your system on different hard drives. So for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I had the Xbox One X version, and then I had the Series X version. So I was like, well, I'm wondering if this is causing some confusion in my saves, that kind of thing. So I just deleted the old version, kept the new version on the internal hard drive. Totally fine. For Call of Duty Warzone, I had it on a portable NVMe drive, but I wanted to move it to the internal drive. I did that, and apparently it didn't quite work the way I thought it was going to work. I thought it moved over, then I told it to delete it off my NVMe drive. It deleted it off both drives, so I had to re-down Call of Duty last night so I could play games with Mike for his Extra Life. But when it works, it's actually it works pretty well in terms of moving things around. But this is, I think, one of the challenges we're seeing right now, and this is not just on the Series X, but also on PS5. I think they do some very similar things where it will download both versions of the game. Thankfully you don't need to keep both versions of the game on your Series X system. I don't believe that's the case either for the PS5, but there is going to be some storage management stuff, at least early on, because your old games, can run off an external hard drive, but anything new has to be on an internal drive. If this at all makes sense. Anyway. It just gets very, you start juggling stuff around, especially because the internal drives, the storage isn't the biggest in the world. So it's kind of like, well, you got to pick and choose what you want to put on your internal drives and then just move it off if you don't want it there. So anyway.
So what do you think, Greg? I mean, I honestly, I still check every day, sometimes multiple times a day, see if there are any availability of these things. And again, the answer is no, unless you want to pay.
No.
£750, £800. And I think it's disgraceful of Amazon actually listing them at that price. So, I'm not, you know, yes, I love the newness. I've always had these sort of day one, the last few things. But it's, I don't feel that there's any killer apps yet that I'm missing out on.
Well, so... I think there's some legitimacy to that. You know, okay, I'm going to go at this from a different angle. So in terms of the differences between next gen and current gen, it really is speed. At the end of the day, it is going to be, it's all about speed. Because yes, the next gen systems do a few different things, you know, that you've got the haptic stuff, which is pretty cool on the PlayStation 5 for everything I've been hearing. And they do have some exclusive games, but for the most part, everything's cross-generational. So it's not like you're really getting anything different than you've already been playing.
Yeah.
But visually, they are slightly nicer because I think the One X and the PS4 Pro still have really good visuals. But the speed at which you get into your games and the speed at which you could just do stuff in the system, it really is night and day. And I can safely say I cannot go back to an Xbox One X.
Okay, do you know what? Oh, wow, really? Even your Xbox even the Xbox One X? Okay.
The One X. Okay. It is decidedly faster with the Series X. Same thing with the PlayStation 5 from what I'm hearing, you know. The load times, the system stuff also, just doing things. Everything just feels functionally faster. So from that standpoint, yeah, these systems really do feel
next gen, but the challenge is you're not going to see that on a screen. So anytime you're looking at the games that are available, it's going to be like, well, okay, that doesn't look like anything crazy great. You know, it's the same, you know, Call of Duty looks good on my system, my Xbox One X. It looks good on a Series X, you know, but it doesn't look miles different. No, not really. So I think when you're trying to look at the reason to buy, and this is something that was interesting. Phil Spencer was alluding to it. It was going to be hard to show the justification for next gen from a visual perspective, because the visuals on the current gen consoles, if you will, or the old gen consoles, was quite good. But the speed at which these systems function,
okay,
and the speed at which you can get into your games is crazy good. And what's, you know, like with the Series X, what I love, you know, the quick resume stuff, you know, I go from, you know, playing Wasteland 3, jumping into Assassin's Creed Valhalla, maybe jumping into Disney Plus, but then going back to, say, Wasteland 3 or Assassin's Creed Valhalla, all of that stays, you know, I can jump in quickly. Okay. It's not having to start the game up all over again.
Whereas
with the One X, you had one. You could do it with one game. So you could, you know, say, pause it, turn the system off, and come back to it, and it would be there. Here, you actually can jump between different games and still have that fast experience, which is great.
I ain't holding. It's not that I'm holding back. I just can't get one.
I totally get that. And I want to give PlayStation some due here, because I think one of the one things that they have done smartly, one, I do love the haptic controller. I think hopefully Xbox and other developers or other manufacturers out there will start to build out other kind of competing haptic controllers, because that will actually help developers want to utilize that technology and make it more common. So I think that's kind of a cool iteration, a cool thing that they've brought into it. But also PlayStation does have some games like, you know, Astrobot's Playroom. You know, it's not the greatest game in the world, but it's a pack-in. It feels very next-gen-y from everything I've seen and read. So I applaud them for that, because it does feel like, if nothing else, there are some exclusive games, even if they're cross-gen. There are some kind of exclusive experiences to be had on the PlayStation 5, and they do some things with the controller to make it feel a little bit different. So I think if you are in the market to say, I want next gen, but I really want to play next gen games and I want unique games, then the argument sways towards PlayStation at the moment.
What?
Is that going to be the case? Is that going to be the case coming into January, February, March?
Even with Game Pass? Greg?
Well, yes. And again, here are the words I said, which is I want some unique games for my system that I can only get on my system. That's the PlayStation has that right now. Xbox, unfortunately, they had the problems with Halo that got pushed out. And then, you know, several other titles, the Medium, Scorn, all of those got delayed. So they will have those experiences. They just don't have them right up front. So if you have to have them right now, then yeah, that sits with PlayStation. However, on the other hand, Game Pass is killing it, and they continue to kill it. And so, you know, that is an area where, you know, there just isn't an equivalent out there right now. So if you want a system and a service that just give you a ton of games up front and kind of a low barrier entry cost, well, that's the Series X or Series S, even if you want to go that route. So there's pros and cons to both systems. Competition is what is going to make this generation fantastic. And yeah, I feel very fortunate that I was able to get my Series X. And so far, so good.
Good. Okay. Excellent.
Right. Now that was a total like random divergent. Yeah. I suppose I could talk about the games I have been playing.
Playing on it? Yeah, that'd be nice.
So, Wasteland 3, finished it. I loved this game. This game wrapped up fantastic. There was a very long final battle that kind of played out in a series of events. But what I really loved was at the end of it, they do this kind of recap, and it's think of like when you watch a movie and they kind of the end of the movie, they suddenly go to like black screen, but then they have text that comes up and says, you know, John Smith, he went on to be a successful engineer for Boeing, blah, blah, blah. Although nobody's a successful engineer for Boeing right now. But that's a joke there. Come on. But so they do that in Wasteland 3. So they have the end credits happening, and then they go through what your decisions throughout the game ended up impacting and kind of creating this additional narrative that happens above and beyond the game. And it was great to read through. The disappointing part is it's very easy to miss, because what they do is when the game ends, they start playing this song that, you know, it's written specifically for the game. It's you know, a Wasteland 3 kind of country song, and you're listening to it and the words are up on screen. And so you're kind of thinking, okay, well, this is just playing while the credits are going to come up. But as the song plays, they switch out from kind of showing you the lyrics of the song, and they start getting into the actual impact stuff that happened within your storyline and what you did and what you didn't do and what that led to for the town and other towns around you. So really cool stuff. I loved it, but like Phil missed it. He didn't see this at all.
Yeah, he loved the game too.
He wasn't looking for it. Yeah. So, but anyway, Wasteland 3 was really great, really well done turn-based strategy game. If you're in the mood for something like that, go out play it. Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So Kim, you were asking me about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It has some bugs. I don't find it to be a buggy mess. So I think people that are saying it's a buggy mess are being overly critical. And I think these are types of individuals that like to be critical for critical sake. It is a beautiful game. I actually have been enjoying the story of this game so far better than I have been enjoying other Assassin's Creed games. Even Odyssey, which I liked Odyssey. But I always felt... This is going to sound horrible. It'll sound chauvinistic. But I always felt like when we're telling these tales, having characters of particular genders in certain scenarios just doesn't really make sense to me. So if we're going back and looking at a historical view, say, of you know, the Roman Empire, I don't know anywhere, and I'm sure somebody's going to correct me, but you don't see a lot of books really talking about a woman warrior outside of, you know, was it Athena, the goddess of love or something like that? But anyway, so it just strikes me that Ubisoft likes to do this where they're allowing you to pick your genders. They're allowing you to kind of be the character you want to be. I want it to be fit for the time and the era. Robin's saying stuff and we can't hear him.
And I have my volume. So. I have my volume turned down. I get that. I understand. I mean, you've got your Joan of Arcs and there's lots of other people out there. But, I mean, right. Things were simpler. And you call it chauvinistic or not. Sorry, Kim. But when I was a kid growing up, you had Wonder Woman. Now you wonder if it's a woman. So, I mean, it's really weird times. So, you know, it's a minefield. So, like, you know what? Nothing wrong with a good, strong male character or a good female character. You know, it is what it is. But don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking male, feeling a bit odd about that. You don't have to like the same as everybody else. You know?
I mean, I would love a Joan of Arc. I would love a Joan of Arc story. Mm. You know, I think that would be fantastic. God, the name of the game is escaping me, but the one that Hellblade is fantastic.
Yeah,
and it's perfect having a female character as the lead in that. I love Tomb Raider games, so I'm not opposed to having female main characters. I just want it to make sense in the context and the time period that it's in. You know, so. In terms of the Viking situation, for me, the male character is the route to go. It fits the narrative of even the shows like the Viking show that's out there. It plays
well.
Yeah,
okay.
And the voice acting for this game is done well. I will say the main reason to choose the female character in Odyssey for me was it was just better voice acting, period. So she did a better job. So I was like, okay, I would rather listen to her.
Did say for Odyssey that she was originally the main, you know, character, I guess you want to say, that they were going for, but then they kind of doubled back on it and decided, well, we could throw the male one in there too, because we don't think that, you know, the female character by herself would sell the game. Right. So
now the interesting thing about Odyssey and how it ties into Valhalla, I swear to God, I have seen her character model face and hairstyle on multiple characters.
I read that somewhere else.
Now. Yes, in multiple characters now in Valhalla so far, at least in the early phase of it. So I'm kind of hoping that doesn't be a continuous theme, because I'm every time I see her, I'm like, I've seen you before. I know you.
you look familiar.
But outside of that, it feels a little more streamlined than other traditional Assassin's Creed games. So yes, there are side quest things, but my map doesn't feel like it is being overwhelmed with things. It's not as dense, which is great, because that.
So it's not like Witcher 3 where I have question marks everywhere and what? Yeah. Oh my God, where do I go?
Nothing tires me out more than seeing all of that, because it starts to feel overwhelming. I think the game does a good job of keeping you on task with the main storyline, at least so far for me. And I'm about 4 or 5 hours into it, so. So I'm scratching the surface. I get it. There's a lot more to this game. And leveling up feels like it comes a little faster as well. So you level up pretty quick.
There's names in it are really good, like Ricky Wolf. Who's Ricky Wolf? It sounds like an 80s pop star. Kill Ricky Wolf. It's on the screen right now.
I don't know.
Ah.
That does to me.
Never
so,
gonna let you go, never let you down, Ricky Wolf.
But visually, it looks fantastic. From a sound design, I like it. Voice acting so far seems perfectly fine, very authentic to what you would think you would be expecting to get with Vikings, with the exception of they're speaking English as opposed to their native dialect. So overall, yeah, it's good. I have no complaints. And I like how they introduce, I think they did a very smart way of introducing the assassins part of it into the game. There's some mystery behind it. It's interesting. So I'm on board with it so far.
So one final question about it. Is there any of the real world stuff, like coming out of the Animus and running around an office
there
somewhere?
Is.
Okay.
There is some Animus stuff to it, yes. That's all I will say.
Okay.
But it doesn't feel... I was never a big fan of the Animus stuff, to be honest. I just kind of like playing in the world of Assassin's Creed, you know, in terms of, like, if I'm in colonial America or if I'm on a pirate island, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Egypt, great, keep me there. I don't need to go back to the Ubisoft office, the fake Ubisoft office, to try and figure out what's going on in the real world. So to me, the Animus stuff has always been a little bit throwaway. I know it's the overarching umbrella to the story, look, it's good. I've really enjoyed it far more than I thought I was going to enjoy it, because I was just getting through playing Odyssey, in the middle of playing Odyssey, and was feeling a bit burnt out with Odyssey. This looks and plays great. And it can get pretty visceral.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So it's Vikings.
Well,
it's
to keep it in the theme, you know, the politically correct theme, to carry this on, Greg, I think it's important that they talk about some of the stuff that I've discovered, which is... I've been playing strip poker from 1991 on DOS. you can have guys and girls. It's, you know. I stumbled across again the Internet Archive, which is a repository of all arcade games and DOS games and software and all manner of stuff. And I started to go through some of the PC stuff, and a lot of the DOS stuff will just play there and then. And it's really interesting going back. I was actually trying to find Samantha Fox's strip poker from way back. She was a model here in the UK. Anyway, it's just so funny going back to these and what we thought was titillating back in 19... Excuse me, Kim, sorry. But there was men here too. How titillating these things were back in the day, and how, yes. Wow, that's so real. Wow. Yeah, and how it's moved on. So I've dabbled.
Like Leisure Suit Larry. Yeah. I mean, they think back to those games, how you know, I mean, we look at them now, and it's just like, really? That was even considered offensive?
Right.
You can't even make out what you're talking about. So anyway.
So yeah. Yes, I had. Yeah,
like, what was the game on the Atari, the Kester's Last Stand, or whatever it was?
Yes.
That was supposed to be so bad, and all it looked. Yep.
So I had.
And all it was like a bunch of square pixels.
I had way, way too much fun with some strip poker. I have continued on again. My gameplay time has been terrible, absolutely awful over the last while, and literally. Last night I had several hours to play some more Aliens Isolation. There's so much good stuff to play at the moment. I really want to. I've got the Star Wars Jedi Returns or Jedi thing, whatever it is. There,
such a good game.
And I see Control is now available to play. It's so many things. Yeah. But I really don't want to come away from the Alien Isolation because it actually is very good. And in 4K it's even better. It is a lot of sneaking around. That's the challenge where, you know, it is. I'm walking. You crouch most of the time. You can run and stuff. Right. But I think the way is crouching.
Well, it's more alien than it is aliens.
Yeah.
And that is a decided difference. I loved the original movie Alien. However, I really loved Aliens.
Yes.
Because
my favorite.
The characters were great. But, you know, you feel like you have a little bit of empowerment to actually fight. Whereas, and that's, I think, one of the things I struggle with Alien Isolation is that, you know, you are constantly running. You don't want to confront the alien ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I took a gun out to a robot last night and shot him 5 times and got an achievement for it. But, you know, you don't do that, you know. One of the most annoying things about it is the save points. Where you literally manually save. You find these save points.
It is, of course, at this point that OBS completely failed, which is the thing that we use to pump out the podcast. And that means it also stopped recording. So I'm left with that dilemma. What should I do? Should I just leave it? We've got about an hour of recording up to this point. So I just top it and tail it and away we go. No one will notice. Or do I carry on? Soldier on? Well, you know me. So where we left off our Band of Merry 3, I was talking about Alien Isolation. And it was a jolly good game. It was. I'm really enjoying it. The save points are a bit because if you die at the wrong point, you can step back about 10 minutes. And that's it. You were saved me talking about strip poker, or maybe not. Anyway, Kim went on to talk about Man Eater and how she's thoroughly enjoying playing Man Eater. That's the one about the shark, and she's playing it with her wee little man. And they're having a great old time chomping people in the sea. She's continuing with her wonderful playthrough of Kingdoms of Amalur and is thoroughly enjoying it. From that point, we kind of moved on to news, and here is the news.
Here is the fucking news.
So in the news this week, we were wrapping up Extra Life, and Mike Chin, veteran gamers and odd time pops onto this show here, he was doing his 24-hour run Saturday into Sunday morning, and raising money for Extra Life Charity, which we've supported for many years. Many tens of thousands of pounds raised by this group. Thank you, everybody that's ever done that. And this year is especially poignant because we were raising money in Gary Lever's name and in his account. And Mike Chin's target kept on getting upped and up from $3,000 to $3,500. He broke that £4,000 mark and finished up his 24 hours with £4,072. The VG Hub goal this year was $6,000. It broke $8,148. So thank you everyone who has partaken in this, who supported the players either by a message or dropping in or a donation. Thank you. £8,148 is a fabulous amount. So thank you very much. You can still donate at extra-life.org and search for VG Hub. It'll take you there. And yeah, thank you very much. We're very, very chuffed for that. Other stuff in the news, PAX is returning in real life in 2021. And PAX East is scheduled to run on June the 3rd to the 6th in Boston. PAX West has been set for September the 3rd and 6th in Seattle. And PAX Unplugged, whatever that is earmarked for the 10th to 12th of December in Philadelphia. So, yeah, great to have shows back again. I hope that's positive news for the UK as well, that EGX will hopefully get back to, yeah, because we missed that this year. Back to reality, back to real people meeting each other again. That would be lovely. We missed that out so much. Finally, in the news, BioWare's GM Casey Hudson and Dragon Age producer are leaving the studio. Yeah, BioWare's track record of late hasn't been fantastic. Hudson and Mark Dara are saying that they're retiring. So I hope that's right. I hope they're retiring and not leaving because it's a mess in there. We did see some Dragon Age footage recently and it looked okay. So let's hope they can keep that all together. And that's that. New releases. Yes, there are new releases. And the new releases, this is not my Kim voices, but this is you know, new releases. I'll go through them between the 6th and the 12th of December. That's Call of the Sea for the Xbox Everything. That's on December the 8th. Destiny 2 is coming out. Destiny 2 Beyond Light. Doom Eternal on the Switch. Notable on the 8th. Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 on pretty much everything. Tentum on PlayStation 5, December 8th. Brigadine, the Legend of Runeterra. PlayStation 4 on December the 10th. Cyberpunk, the big one, Cyberpunk 2077. It's on the 10th of December, which is next week as well. Haven on pretty much everything on the December the 10th. Orwell's Animal Farm for PC on the December the 10th. Sword of the Necromancer on pretty much everything, also on the December the 10th. Wildfire and Wood Salt on December the 10th. There's a lot coming out still, even this late into the year. So that's cool. Victory Achieved going on. Lots of Victory Achieved at the moment. The Victory Achieved is our competition. You finish a game, you send it off. A tweet off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag Victory Achieved, and you get entered into a draw to win money. And it's $20 or 15 quid. Just take a photograph of yourself with the credits in the background, and away you go. Perfect. People that finish games, not just this week, but we've missed this because of the show that wasn't the EGX show and a few other bits and pieces. So to bring this bang up to date, people that finished games, Matt Empire 343 finished Dishonored. On Your Six, Justin Smith, very good, very good. Persona 5 Royale, Caliburn M finished The Park. John Moyes finished Captain America, Super Soldier. Hardly Dan's first finish, it was Life is Strange 2. The Legit Chinny finished the game of Stranger Things 3. Dave 3-O-Matic, he finished Ghost of Tsushima, loved it. Pete, the Legit Chinny, also finished Streets of Rage 4 on easy mode. And What Remains of Edith Finch. John Moyes finished the classic Dead Space 2. Eric Dukescath finished Guild Wars 2. And James finished the first of his Far Cry games, Far Cry 5. That's James_B1983. And John Moyes finished World War Z and done everything you possibly can in it. Mr. Killer Cranky finished Watch Dogs Legions. Mr. Miyagi, he finished New Super Lucky's Tale. Lovely tweets of him and his son opening up his new Xbox. John Moyes, in the classic vein, also finished Too Human, the game with no sequel. Greg Murphy's Law finished Wasteland 3. And the Legit Chinny finished River City Girls. And finally, James JB1983 again, continue his Far Cry journey, finish Far Cry New Dawn. Well done, everybody. You've been entered into the draw, and now you get to hear Greg on the loo.
You all have a victory's achieved! Victory's achieved! You have a victory's achieved!
Okay, well, that's sort of a show. We tag it all together. Contact the show at podcast@ocpod.com or on our Facebook page or on Twitter or Parler at @OC_podcast. Leave us a review if you can, and you know, that'll be lovely. Kim, would you like to say anything?
Greg, would you like to say anything? Make your own decisions in life. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Robin, would you like to say anything? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the only thing I'll say is, look, everybody, you be sensible out there. Be nice to each other. Don't be stupid. You know, we're all one people. You know, that's it. I enjoyed Formula One today. George Russell was fantastic. Rudy Giuliani has COVID. Get well soon. Don't get sick out there. Be nice to each other. Be lovely. And we'll be back next week for another disaster that is the Overseas Connection Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection Podcast. See you same time next week.